Welcome to the Zimcast, a program dedicated to bringing you what's new in agricultural marketing. The Zimcast is the official podcast of AgWired and hosted by Chuck and Cindy Zimmerman.
Hello and welcome to the Zimcast. I'm Chuck Zimmerman. I'd like to thank the sponsors for our program, and that includes Growmark, locally owned, globally strong, and Monsanto Roundup Ready Plus for weed management solutions. In this week's program, we are going to listen to a couple of interviews I did at the 2013 National Advocacy Conference. One is with the new president of the AgChat Foundation, and that's Jeff Vanderwerf, who is a Michigan farmer. And then also Jay Baer, our keynote speaker. Jay is the author of a book called Utility, and Utility, spelled Y-O-U, was the theme of his comments to us. So let's start out here learning a little bit about how AgChat is doing from new president Jeff Vanderwerf. I understand you're the new president for the AgChat Foundation. Congratulations.
Well, thank you, Chuck. I appreciate that. The AgChat Foundation is a great organization, and I'm pleased to lead it for the next year.
Well, I know that the board had a meeting here just prior to the start of the conference. Don't know if you're doing any more meeting before you leave, but tell us a little bit about kind of where things stand with the AgChat Foundation right now.
Well, right now, the AgChat Foundation is in a fantastic position. We're a stable organization. We've got a great leadership team. We've got great staff. We've got some new members of our board of directors that have joined us this year. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of energy, and we're looking to unveil some exciting things in 2014 as we move from Advocacy 2.0 to 3.0 and 4.0.
I figured that the numbers had to change at some point. One of the hallmarks of what the foundation does is training. And we're at this conference where that's what it's all about.
It is, and training is a key area that we work to build our community. The goal of the AgChat Foundation is to empower farmers and ranchers using social media platforms. And as we transition from 2.0 to 3.0 to 4.0, you will see those things continue to grow and evolve, not only in-person training, but also some exciting other things that we've got in the works right now for our community.
How would you describe the challenges you have organizationally? You know, it's very much a volunteer effort, and it is very much focused on farmers.
It is, and you know, we have the same challenges that all nonprofits do, obviously, being a 501c3. But as we continue to move forward with our training programs, we see some challenges that are unique to AgChat, being the fact that we are a farmer-led organization, so we are very busy people. We have a limited time window, and because of our diversity, not only geographically but commodity-wise, there's very little time that all of us aren't busy doing something. So that's been a challenge in the past, but you know, with the addition of staff, as the organization has continued to grow and prosper, we're able to overcome those. But the volunteer energy is great at the organization, and we look to keep moving forward all the time.
So if somebody would like to provide some support, in whatever form that is, what do you recommend that they do?
Well, we look to gain support and partner from anyone, anywhere we can. From if you're a farmer and rancher listening to this, we would like to engage you through our website, through our weekly Twitter chat, through our Facebook page. Be sure to look for the food chat. Food chat event that's coming up here around Thanksgiving. That's going to be exciting. There's lots of ways for farmers and ranchers to get involved in our community and help us grow as an organization. Otherwise, we're always looking to grow in the traditional ways that nonprofits are, through monetary support and donations, and we continue to build those relationships and partnerships across all of agriculture. So we are a Big Ten organization. We believe in including everyone, no matter the commodity, group, production method, and that's going to continue.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Jeff, and congrats once again as the new president for the AgChat Foundation. We're just on the final day here of this advocacy conference where we've got, I think about 100 farmers here learning ways to use social media and best practices and all that good stuff. Now let's turn over to our keynote speaker for the conference this year, and that is Jay Baer. Jay, you just were our keynote speaker here at the beginning of this conference. Love to get a couple takeaway messages from talking about this concept of utility.
Well, really what we're talking about is that the difference between helping and selling is just two letters, but those two letters make all the difference. And whatever sort of form or fashion of advocacy you're involved in, the opportunity today is to over-communicate, to produce as much information across as many disciplines as possible so that people can get all the facts, right? Media consumption habits have changed a ton. You know that as well as anybody, Chuck. And you know, our customers and potential customers, our proponents, our opponents, they are kicking the informational tires like never before. People are hyper-researching everything. And if you think you're creating enough content, if you think you're telling your story sufficiently in ag, you're probably not. There's a lot more stories yet to be told.
So when we look, as an agribusiness company, for example, we look at this tool we've been told farmers are engaging in now, and we certainly know that, and there's ample evidence and even some data to show this now. There are companies that still look at Twitter, for example, and say, oh, wait, that's a great, I can write a 140-character press release, right?
Absolutely. That's one of the great fallacies of social media, that your social media program should be about you. And it shouldn't be about you. It should be about deriving value for people who want to connect with you. So if you can resist the temptation of talking about yourself all the time, about making social media about you, and instead making it about them, right? If you can make it about value rather than volume, that's really where the opportunities lie, is creating marketing so useful that people would pay for it.
Well, and they don't necessarily have to pay for it, maybe, other than, I guess you would say, if they have a good feeling about this entity from which they're getting the information, they want might be more open to buying their products and services.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm not suggesting that you would necessarily charge for your marketing materials, but that it has so much intrinsic value, so much inherent circumstantial value that if you said, hey, would you pay for this? People would. I mean, there's lots of publications and blogs and radio shows and podcasts and video series and all kinds of other things out there on the internet now that are free. But if you ask people to pay for them, they would pay for them. Now, you keep them free because you're benefiting in some other way downstream. But it has so much value that you actually would pay for it if somebody asked you to. And that's really the bar you have to clear.
You talked about this idea of providing help, and you had some great examples of how a company, through their social media effort, was kind of almost going out of their way not to be about themselves, but to let somebody who was looking for some information know where they could find it.
Yeah, one of my favorite examples in that regard is Hilton. Hilton Hotels are actually in a Hilton property right here, and they have a program on Twitter called Hilton Suggests, where they listen very aggressively and very broadly on Twitter, where they can find opportunities to jump into conversations and connect people to resources or information. They do that, regardless of whether it has anything at all to do with the hotel business. If they can help you, they will help you. And that's a really, I think, good example of that broader-based sort of marketing sideways approach that all of us should consider. Look, if you can do something in marketing that doesn't necessarily require you to talk about your own products and services per se and is still valuable, that's really something special.
So if I'm the person that's tasked with this challenge at my company, it could be my farm too, for that matter.
Sure.
I mean, farms are businesses. How do I go about trying to figure out this value? Because everybody thinks that since we have such a measurable medium, if you will, which there are so many data points, but the confusion is how do you make sense out of that to think, okay, I spent all this time, effort, investment. What did I get out of that idea of helping other people?
Yeah, there's lots of different ways to measure this kind of helpful marketing. And actually, in my book called Utility, the whole last part of it is all about measurement and how to connect those dots. But the reality is that if you want to measure the effectiveness of this kind of marketing, you have to do something measurable, right? And some companies have an easier job of that than others. Agribusiness, in many cases, has an easier job of it because they have what we call visibility at the transaction layer. Like when somebody buys from them, they know it because you have to place an order, you have to talk to somebody, you have to do something. If you are selling eggs in a retail environment, well, you don't necessarily know who bought those eggs. You just know that somebody bought them. So the trail gets a little colder there. But what you've got to think about is, okay, what can we measure? And then walk it back, right? A lot of times, even as a consultant, I have companies call me and say, well, can you help us figure out whether or not this type of marketing is working? Okay, well, are you doing anything that's trackable? No. I'm like, well, then I'm not certain what you're expecting me to do here, right? I don't have the crystal ball. So it's really a process to say, okay, can we identify who's reading our blog? Can we identify who's reading our blog and filling out a contact form? Can we identify who's reading our blog, filling out a contact form, and eventually buying from us, right? Can we keep records of that so that we know downstream the person that bought X has been on the blog 11 times? And there's great software to show you how to do that, right? But you have to be thinking through that strategically and say, how do we make sure that we can track all those behaviors that culminate in a purchase? Because it is, it's a culmination. One of the great fallacies of marketing right now is that social media has made everything fast, and it hasn't. Social media happens fast, but marketing in some cases happens slower than ever because people are taking more information in, they're researching more before making decisions. And what I said this morning is, I think, very true, is that in marketing today, everybody wants to be a hunter. They want to like, you know, buy from me today. And nobody wants to be a farmer. Nobody wants to say, look, let's give you value, give you value, give you value, give you value, and eventually you're going to buy from us. And that's really what it takes.
I liked your story talking about media buying today versus even as near as 10 plus, you know, maybe a little over 10 years ago, where you had sort of some limited choices, even though there was, when you can think of print and then broadcast radio and TV. Well, you know, with cable and satellite, we were already seeing some fragmentation, but it has just exploded at this point. So I'm the media buyer for this agency or for my client or company. It has gotten to be a lot more challenging today.
Oh, it's incredibly challenging now because not only do you have an explosion of different facets and different types and ways to buy what we would consider to be legacy media, print, broadcast, outdoor, etc. But now you've got all of the enormous numbers of digital options, right? Whether it's display ads or search ads or social media ads. I mean, just within the social media advertising space, which I track most closely, you've got new developments every day. I mean, LinkedIn just started sponsored posts 2 weeks ago. Facebook just rolled something out this morning with being able to embed Facebook posts on your own blog. I mean, there's new stuff constantly. And it's very, very difficult to stay on top of it all. Now, the good news is that it's all opportunities, and most definitely opportunities to be more targeted as well. I have an ad campaign on LinkedIn that I run for my own business that only shows ads to meeting planners. Talks about having me come in and be a speaker. Only meeting planners, only people whose job title is meeting planner sees those ads. That's pretty awesome, right? That's pretty targeted, pretty effective. A friend of mine wrote a blog post on our blog recently that shows you how to run a LinkedIn ad targeted to one person. Take one person in the world, and I can set up a campaign that only that person will see an ad on Facebook or LinkedIn. Now, that's awesome. Like, you can't do that. You know, you can't do that in print. You can't do that in outdoor. But, you know, that's a lot of work, right? I mean, all of those kind of things are a lot of work and a lot to consider.
One of the concepts that I find very hard to grasp by especially media buyers, yeah, and or how the company's budget is laid out, mm-hmm, is what I see today as the blurring of the lines between public relations, mm-hmm, and advertising. Mm-hmm. In some cases, I don't even know if there is a difference. Mm-hmm. But how do you, what do you see in terms of a company thinking that they've got an opportunity, say it's with like us, we're professional bloggers in a way,
yep,
with sponsors, mm-hmm, doing some very unique ways to help promote our sponsors, mm-hmm, but not necessarily coming out of the advertising, mm-hmm, arena.
You know? Do you want to come out of the advertising arena or not necessarily?
I really don't care.
Yeah.
as long as we get paid.
Well, I think this... We talked about it a moment ago that you have this incredible increase in the number of media sources and the places, right, that you can advertise, and that's good news at some level. But what we're seeing now is that companies want to work with the media. they don't want to just hand media dollars and say, you know, spread my message. It's how can we work together to do something different, special, more impactful. And that's where you're seeing so many more kind of native advertising opportunities and sponsored posts and advertorials, what we used to call it. I don't know why we don't call it that anymore, because it's not cool, but now we call it native advertising, but we used to call it advertorial. But those kind of working together opportunities are what companies are really demanding now, and they should. They should, because when you're running an ad next to somebody else's ad that looks exactly the same, you know, that's not going to get you as far as it will if you're in, you know, if you're going to do something that's custom and special and interesting. And these kind of native advertising opportunities, when you're working with media to produce something, typically are rooted in information, typically rooted in help, not hype. And because of the reasons that I talked about this morning and in the book, that's what consumers want. They don't want to be lectured to about why your company's great. Why don't you give them something of value and let them figure out that your company is great?
You mentioned the book that you have out, Utility. I think I want to, before I forget, point people to where they can find your book.
Thanks, I appreciate that. The book's called Utility, Y-O-U, Utility, Why Smart Marketing is About Help, Not Hype. It's a New York Times bestseller. You can go to utilitybook.com, get all kinds of free bonus materials there, including a pretty juicy free excerpt of the book. It's like 15 or 20 pages right from the middle of it. So if you're like, I don't know if I want to spend, you know, whatever it is on Amazon now, $17 or something on that book, go to utilitybook.com, check out the excerpt, and decide for yourself.
I saw something that got tweeted quite a bit. It had something to do with an albino heifer or calf.
Well, we talked about the rise of smartphones amongst farmers, and how, you know, even 2 years ago it was very rare for farmers to have a smartphone, and now it's upwards of 90% is the research. And so the line that I had in the presentation this morning is it's you're more likely to see an albino calf than you are to see a farmer without a smartphone. And that may not be quite true mathematically, but it makes for a good tweet.
It was. For that information, I think there was, as I was just kind of overhearing some people there, where can they find that kind of information? Or was that like maybe a proprietary study or something?
It was a study by a mobile consulting company whose name I can't place off the top of my head, but I found it in USA Today. USA Today picked it up on their website and cited that research. And it was just from a couple months ago. It's quite recent.
That probably means go Google it. Although Yahoo might object to that.
That's right.
Although
sorry.
I did see today sorry. That Yahoo moved above Google, at least for, what, yesterday as the highest trafficked site?
Yeah, yeah. So. You know, they're smart over there. I mean, I think Marissa Mayer, who's running Yahoo now, you know, they've got real plans, and I think the Tumblr acquisition's an interesting play as well. I'm not certain they know exactly what to do with that, but Tumblr skews so young and is so impactful amongst your sort of under 30, under 25 audience that it gives them a real foothold in that game. And I don't know that Google has that. I mean, Google Plus certainly doesn't skew young necessarily. Neither does really anything else that Google has. So it'd be really interesting to see what happens here in the next 2 to 3 years with Twitter very popular amongst young people, Instagram owned by Facebook very popular amongst young people, Tumblr very popular amongst young people. Google doesn't really have a horse in that race yet, so we'll see what happens.
Well, just in closing here, any last thing that you would like these most all farmers of various types from across the country to kind of take away about this concept that you talked to us about today?
One of the facets that are really important about Utility that I talked about this morning and talk about at length in the book is radical transparency, is this notion that when everybody in the world has access to all the world's information, you know, in a smartphone, which fundamentally we do, and if you don't have a smartphone, you can certainly look it up on your laptop. I mean, it's not like people can't get information now, quite the contrary. And in an environment like that, which is just going to get more, I mean, it's not like information's going back in the bottle. In an environment like that, you really will be better off if you are proactively transparent, if you go out of your way to acknowledge your own shortcomings. Because when you do that, it builds trust. When you say, you know what, this isn't the right restaurant for me, this isn't the right product for me, if you don't want organic, you should buy this one. If you do want organic, you want this one. You know, just go above and beyond to acknowledge circumstances where you're not the right solution, because it builds trust. And ag in general as an industry is really, really deficient at that point. Ag has sort of convinced itself as an industry that they have to be right on all cases, right? That there is no room for discussion or debate, and then people who have issues with agriculture are wrong and we're right. And I understand that. I understand why people take it personally, because they've been in farming for four generations or whatever the circumstances are. I get all of that. But that's not how you convince people in the modern world. You can't convince people by saying, you're wrong, we're right. You convince people by saying, you're right in these circumstances, we're right in these circumstances. And that radical transparency is absolutely the way of the present and the future.
Couldn't agree more. Thank you very much, Jay.
Thanks, you so much. Appreciate it.
I'd like to encourage you to support the AgChat Foundation. You can just go to agchat.org, and there are a number of ways you can support us, which include everything from financial support to just getting involved. And that even could be just the weekly Twitter conversation on Tuesday evenings using the AgChat hashtag. So that's the Zimcast for this week. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening.
You've been listening to the Zimcast, the official podcast of AgWired. Check us out at www.agwired.com to find out what's new in agricultural marketing.